Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Two Norries podcast. I'm your host, James, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Timmy Long.
Hi, everyone.
Willsie is in the hot seat. How are you, Will?
Well.
Down from Limerick City, Kate.
Down from Limerick City, and what a pleasure it is.
How's the performance, yeah?
Good, man, good. I was just saying it to Timmy before we come on that this has been somewhat of a dream to get down and see. I think you're absolutely incredible people. I think the story that you lead and I think the things that you do with the community is fascinating, so... Congratulations to you also, boys.
Likewise, and it's a pleasure. Remember you were on Claiborne Live last year. There was a traveller special, and there was a lot of great travellers on, including you, and you spoke very well about, you know, you grew up in Care, and you know the challenges, but you spoke really well. And my wife is a traveller as well, and I remember looking and thinking, he'd be a fucking great guest for us. So here we are.
Hey.
And you're a rapper.
Rapper, spoken word artist. Storyteller of many ways, is the way
so, to before we get into it, we go right back. Where you're from, what's your family, where did you grow up?
So, of course, my name is Willsie. I come from...
Willem Casey,
from my sins, my blessings.
The boxer?
He'd be my first cousin, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember the boxer?
Big Bang, Willie B. Say I'm the best, but we'll leave that for a cleaner version. So where I come from, I originally come from a place called Weston, which is based inside Limerick City. I would have came from both full-blooded travelling family. They would have kind of been a very fond of substances and alcohol when they were growing up and stuff. Well, we witnessed that when we were growing up with them. So we ended up going into foster care. We'd done a lot of circuits with the foster care.
What age were you when you went into foster care?
I think I was only a baby, okay, to be honest with you. I do know that it was 4 years of age when I arrived at the house that I'm in now that I call my forever home. It's the magic house, as we like to call it. We'll get into it, But so we would have done circuits and continuously going back and forth between mam foster home, mam foster home, and dad was obviously there as well. But the capability of them looking after us as we were growing started to deteriorate more, you know, so... We were kind of getting longer stints in foster homes. And then, we found a forever home then. And them people that were foster with, Mary and John, of course, shout out Mama and Pops, they never held that life back from us in the sense of we were growing up in foster care. We were foster children. We were allowed to see our parents.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was very, very hard for many visits, many times. But we were always welcomed back to a house that was full of understanding, full of care, full of love. And that's not for every foster child by any means. Like half a kilometre away, my brother and sister, older brothers and sisters, the clock stops with me, thank God. My older brothers and sisters, they would have had a totally different upbringing, and their house that they would have been fostered in was kind of more for a financial benefit than it would have been for personal benefit, you know. So they were kind of even looking at us in a sense of like, why are you getting the golden stick, you know? It's kind of like, we're not, it's just the look of the way the coin flips. But
you could have had foster parents as well where there might be prejudice towards travellers, and you could have might, you know.
Funnily enough, one of the first ever homes that I was fostered in, and I remember this very vividly, I was in junior infants or something like that. Of course, like, you piss your pants, man. It's a natural thing, you know. But I remember coming back to this foster home and... this lady, I won't mention her name, but she ended up putting me into the corner and she was like, you can stay there until it dries. And like, I was like, okay, because I was a child. And you know, you look to your adults and you think this is normal. But her own son was a little bit similar age as me, and he was getting toys, he was allowed up to see, what was that thing that was on telly, man? Gladiators. You remember Gladiators? Gladiators, like a 7 o'clock show, 6 o'clock show, that kind of thing, you know, man. Saturday night job.
Yeah.
We were in bed, the second we seen Gladiators start, we were in bed. Her kids, equal age, after Gladiators. You know, that kind of, there was always a difference. And to me, I think sometimes it is good to have a family that can foster other families, but I think you need to address it with the kids a lot as well, because kids love, and they love their parents, and they love their family unit. And I think if you have to divide the love, or you have to share the family unit, I think sometimes there's a level of resentment, and that can be very toxic for upbringings and stuff, you know what I mean?
100%.
But anyway, so I would have, I would have came from West End, we would have been fostered, from in my forever home now, and I was just going to school, man. Periods of school was good.
Where was the your forever home? Where was that?
So I'm based out by Killaloe in County Clare now.
Oh yeah, we've a friend in Killaloe.
Yeah.
Nice place.
Yeah, lovely scenic village. But so I went to school in the local national school, and I suppose going there at the very start was good, because people kind of looked at you as in like, who's the new guy? Mm. But then you start to find that there's cliques even in these communities, and there's families that have rich heritage in these, and they don't like you.
Yeah.
And you could come in there with the best of chocolates and everything, they just don't want to talk to you. They have no interest in you. But, you know, so from that then, you have to kind of, well, what I did was I kind of separated myself from them, and there was a lot of bullying going on, there was a lot of torment, there was a lot of shame, there was a lot of go away knacker and go away you dirty smelly traveller. Yeah. I'm sorry,
I know,
but that's the reality.
But that's exactly, that's what the dish
was. It's just horrible to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, and then like, teachers would obviously witness all of that going on, but like, they're kind of the same view. So they'll leave it off until it becomes like a big noticeable problem. But I've been called knackers by teachers as well, or get out you itinerant or something like that, and that's all to spark a reaction. It's similar with the guards, that's all they do, man. It's just
we did a podcast with Michael in prison. Did you see that at all up in Cork prison? But he told us the experience and all like that. Horrible from a teacher calling him a knacker. Are you going to rob that? You know, when he was in the metal workshop, but you know the interesting thing, and I've said it before, do you know, if me and Timmy talks about stuff that happened to us, people will be in the YouTube comments and other settled people saying, oh, it was a tough time, it's great to see him doing well and God love him. But you know, when the traveller gives the story, there he is, the victim, or look at him making it up. You could
be sure that they'll be under this as well, with their own summarizing of it. For me, man, I've built enough resilience now throughout life that you can call me everything and it's good. Do you know what I mean? If you start calling me my biological Christian name, then I know I'm in trouble. But anything after that, you can call me everything after that. Do you know what I mean?
My grandmother used to call me and my mother Timothy. Jesus, once I hear that word, then
you're like, back, man. That's where it comes, you know?
You're getting yourself ready for
and that's, telling off, that's what it is. You broke off, you know. But, so just to kind of skim through it a little bit for you. So primary school section would have been grand, as course, as I was saying, a little bit of bullying and stuff. But I think my father died when I was 12, and I was just going to enter into first year at that time. And that was kind of like the pinnacle new school. And, you know, there's a lot of hormones and stuff running through people. So I kind of took that blow very hard. But because I grew up with the last of the chain of children, and at the end of when things got bad, that relationship wasn't really fluctuating with love and compassion. So I was kind of able to marginalise it in myself a small bit and be able to deal with it and kind of turn it a bit. But throughout maybe first, second, third year of secondary school, there was an anger building that I didn't recognise. There was resentment building that I didn't understand. And it came to third year, and then my mother passed away. And my mother, out of the two, would have been kind of like the carer. Before the can went to the mouth, we were fed, we were washed, we were looked after. And then she got wobbly. But everything happened prior to that. And, you know, whereas
she looked after to the best of her ability.
Best of her ability, man. And I know spuds for life. Like, you know, she left us with little but a lot at the same time, you know. And I value it. I hold it very true to my heart. But it was after that then, and kind of the accumulation from the knock-on from dad then to mam, kind of left me in a place of, I'm going to fucking snap here in a minute. Like, what did I do wrong? Why me? You get that kind of, like, why? Like, you know, has the fucking first 0 to 15 not been hard enough now, but you want to throw this up on top of it? Okay, let's deal with it. Give me it. So first kind of reaction was to act out with it, man. It was the last show was, fuck you. You want a smile on your face? I'll take that smile off your face. Mm. My smile is taken off my face and I never asked for it. You don't ask for it, but I'm going to take it anyway. That was my understanding. Yeah. And still at the same time, I had these beautiful foster parents at home that were still the doors of compassion, still all the love, still all the understanding. But there was something in me that wanted to return to where I came from. And that being how the family was viewed, but also the area and where I came back from. And when I did return into that area, for several years, I was green.
Because you didn't grow up in that area.
I didn't grow
and
up.
It can be unforgiving for people that aren't used.
And then you think the flood doors are going to open when you arrive back. Yeah. They're all going to go, we knew we were fucking missing something in our life. It was you. Yeah. They're not by any means.
There's too much going on for them to actually start. We think that in our heads.
Yeah.
But there's actually so much going on in their lives. They're just barely coping themselves, you know.
That's it, and it's we call it the Wild West. There's a lot going on in these deprived areas. But and as I was saying, you think it's the floodgates opening, but what happens is, I think there's two different levels of life. When you live in a country and you live in a city, you have two different understandings. Yeah. You've got street education, you've got field education. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know how to make money from a blade of grass, and you make money from buds of grass in town, and I think that's the best way of looking at it. Yeah. But for me, having to return back into them areas, I was still kind of like, I want to be your friend. Like, we can be friends. I knew you since I was four. Like, we're going to be brothers now again. Like, we're going to share lollipops.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out like that, man. I ended up, getting into a lot of crime, a lot of drug abuse, a lot of horribleness, a lot of.
You just wanted to fit in, basically.
But I wanted to release at the same time, And the best person, and this is sound totally wrong, but the best person I ever came across was on Garda Síochána. Because now I can play cops and robbers.
Yeah.
Now I have someone to chase me. Now there's a bit of entertainment. I'm not just doing it without an incentive. And my incentive now is to, you want to challenge me, I'll challenge you. I'm angry, you're angry, let's be angry together. Let's see who wins.
Yeah.
Bigger fool me. You know, bigger fool me.
What age are you?
I'm an undisclosed age. I left the comment section to decide that now. I'm 30 years of age, man.
You're 30 years of age.
Yeah.
What was it like? Like, was it dangerous in Weston and Limerick City when you went back? Like, did you get into trouble? Were you a victim? Or how did they receive you? Were you an outsider to them? Like, not just your family, but everybody else?
Outsider, completely. Outsider to my family, my core family, my cousins, my relatives, my uncles, my aunts. Outsider to the Wild West. And again, at that time when I was growing up, like, it's not, how am I going to say it to you? It's not hard to see the lineage in which I come from that are based in both areas. You know, I come from the Casey family, of course, but when you return into these areas, obviously their knowledge and your knowledge are totally different. And once they know that they're kind of encouraging you or influencing you in any way, they'll continue to influence you, you know. And I'm okay with speaking about this because I am a 30-year-old man now who can weather his own storm in any capacity, you know. Yeah, but at that stage, man, you're, as I was saying, you're green, you're entering in, you think the family love you, they think they have some sort of emotional connection with you, but they don't. They just have a connection with their pocket, and if you can line it, you can line it, that kind of way. So it was kind of hard, man. It was kind of lonely, I won't lie, but
your identity as well, you've been raised by good people, by the sounds of it, but there's a part that longs for that other
that's
stuff.
That's it, yeah.
Because that's your DNA and your blood.
That's it. And then you hear, my older brothers, so I come from a family that would have 28 in it. And I would be the baby of the whole lot of that.
Two soccer teams with subs.
Clearly no televisions and just a lot of drinking.
28 brothers and sisters.
There's a...
Really?
Yeah. So a lot would be halves, but I never include halves. Yeah. I just look at it as fulls.
They're your brother and sister.
Yeah. So my older brothers came through the same system, same foster care systems, received the same way by people, and they would have broken a different mold for themselves, and they would have got really into the goings on of these communities, and they were really invested in it and made names for themselves. What good they are today, I don't know, but they made names at that time, early 90s, early 90s, when things were thriving. But that's what I was trying to chase. I was just like, all right, I'm his brother, you want me? Oh, I'm his brother, yeah? I'll go and be his brother. You think I can't be worse than him? I'll be worse than you and him and your whole family.
You wanted the respect that they were getting from the community.
I couldn't understand it. I couldn't see why they were so appreciated and why it felt like, still at that stage, felt like shit on the
were you drinking and taking drugs at this time?
Heavily. Like, I first introduced to the Xanax, man. Xanax was one of the fucking forget-me-nots, I call them, like. Oh. You know what I mean? You could do anything.
They were my big drug. I was taking heroin, but the tablets, Xanax, the D10s, they were the big
D5s, thing. Did you see them?
But they used to make me suicidal, the D5s.
Did they, yeah? They are the slippiest slope you could ever get in your life because they're so mild that you don't. They're so impacting at the same time.
Until you go through the 90 from an hour. Yeah.
And you'll turn around into the fella next. You're not getting that off these.
But you know what, I'm mad about the D5s?
You forget them.
Yeah. We used to get D10s, right? So if in the odd occasion the chemist didn't have the D10s, now this doesn't make sense. But you know, for 90 D10s, if the chemist didn't have the D10s, they'd give 180 D5s, right? Because it's the same thing. All a D5 is a diazepam, 5 milligram.
Yeah, yeah.
A D10 is a diazepam, a 10 milligram. So logically, one D10 is the same as two D5s, but when you take it, it's not. The 2D5s aren't as good as 1D10, and when you come down off the D10s, it's not great, but when you come down off the D5s, it's way worse. It's way more of a come down. You get suicidal, and you start getting mad shit into your head, whereas after the D10s, you don't get as depressed, I felt, anyway.
It's another thing, man, which is kind of unfortunate, is that, you know, when you're in addiction and you're looking like... Early days, when I was smoking cannabis, right, I used to go in and get maybe 7 grams and I'd have it micromanaged to the fact of 4 joints a day, 7 grams. Yeah. You know, so when you get, it's like going to a dealer and getting extra. You think you're going to have dim joints when the exact same you are and you're fucked. You're going to have 8 and 1, 8 and the other, right? You know, and that's the same with the tablets. You get 180 D10 or D5s. You're taking fucking 80 of them that day.
And probably take the deal really that night.
Or you'll find someone who will help you and you'll work through it together, you know?
If you woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning for a piss, you can't go back to sleep until you take about 20 from
Because you know they're there. That was another thing. That's
it. Or do you know the next morning after all the tablets, you wake up bright as a bee, wouldn't you?
What are we going to do?
Mad head, grogged out. You get into a lot of trouble, though.
I would have, man, and to be honest with you, I was my own worst enemy and my own biggest fool, to be honest, because even at times, I got so interested in chasing all them names and I got so interested in all that thing that at one point I just thought, this is your life, Willem. You know, like, this is what you're doing now. Like,
do you know the people that brought you up?
Yeah.
Your home, your loving home.
Yeah.
Okay. Where were they? Do you know what? Were they sad to see you going down that road? Like, were they worried for you?
Yeah.
Like, did they leave you do your thing? And but they always kept an open arm then for you, did they?
So, my mama and pops are two different people, and sometimes I look at them and say, how did you ever fall in love? But you know, because they're opposites in a lot of ways, but evens in others. My pops was kind of at the stage of, if you want to go and be reckless, if you want to go and live your life that way, get out and do it.
Mm.
My mama was like, just pick up your phone at the end of every day. Just let me know where you are. All I want to know is if you're safe. Just answer your phone.
Yeah.
And that was kind of always the daunting thing. And then I began to try and charge my phone. And then I tried to begin to look for someone who had a phone to let them know. And just because she kept there, and he kept there as well, of course, they're still there today, thank God. But just because that was constantly there and that support system was always there, it reassured me that no matter how bad things are, I can get a little bit of respite at home. You know, there's love at home. So this hard world that I'm facing myself into and this tough man fucking shit that I'm trying to do, go home, boy. Mm-hmm. You know? And I spent, as you were saying, I spent a lot of time getting into trouble. Right. As I was saying, played cops and robbers with the guards, racked up a couple of charge sheets. I've done things in my life, to be honest with you, that I'm completely ashamed of. And I will forever and ever carry it with me. Things that, look, me personally, if I was in here on my own in this world, I'd be gone straight away. But I can't because of babies and children or partners and stuff. So I try and stay stable. And that's why I try and get into education. That's why I try and better it. But if it wasn't due to the things that I've done in my life, I would probably...
But you know, the stuff.
Look for a passport to heaven, you know what I mean?
The stuff you've done in your life and the stuff we've done in our life, we can't undo that.
And that's a very hard thing, though.
No, but know what you can do.
It is. It's
like you're doing your course now in addiction studies, right? And you want to go back and you're going to prevent the next fella from doing the things you did. And by the podcast, but no, we're going to prevent the next person from being hurted. That's all you can do. Make amends and try to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And listen, that's all you just have to stop beating yourself over the back. And, you know, like you were a hot junk for that. We'd made mistakes, you know, we've all
done things. Sometimes I can take the whip back out of my closet as well and start beating myself again. For a long time, I really, really, really put myself down and beat myself to death about to carry on out of me, because when I drank and drugged, and I was a fucker, like, I wasn't a nice person, you know. I done stuff that I'd regret, and that I'll take to the grave and regret, you know. But by keeping myself down on the floor and keeping myself depressed and just sitting still in a room watching the television away from everybody else, I'm not doing any justice to anybody. I'm not helping anyone. So by me sitting here at this table with James, yourself and all our other guests, and talking about my experiences and you talking about yours, we're actually helping people, okay? We're helping other people. Yeah, like some people mightn't like that me and James are here, or you're here, or some of the other guests are here talking and giving this platform. But you know what? We're trying our best.
Yeah.
What do you want us to do? Do you want us to stay at home and keep the whip and keep baiting ourselves? Or do you want us to come in here and talk about these issues that may potentially help somebody that loves you at some stage in their life?
Or help, this is what I find, and this is really why I got into the music side of things as well, is to help those who love you understand you a bit more as well. Because I think when you're in addiction and when you're going through them kind of things, it's you're so, obviously you love them with all your heart, but you love yourself more and you hate yourself so much that you put yourself into an isolated spot. And even when, like, you're taking drugs or something like that, it's not romantic to take drugs. It's lonely and it's horrible and it's and you substitute that for home, and you know what.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And you can kind of get lost. And for me, it was the condemning. It was the condemning, the constant, you let them down, you're a failure, you let them down. I was very lucky that at one part of my life, I think it was like 18 or 19, and I had been with these lads from opposite end of the town, SMD is their names, and they were rapping. And I had heard a cousin of mine who came from Arras, and he brought me to a Christian meeting. I was like, oh yeah, man, we love the Christian meetings. And he was like, nah, cuz, trust me, like, come. And I was like, go on, so I'll go. So sitting down, and I started listening, and I was like, nah, not for me. And then he was like, come over to my house, I rap. And I was like, fucking, this is going to be entertaining, if nothing else. But he was sick. He was properly, like,
he was good, like,
you know,
good, like,
yeah. He'd done his research with the 90s. He had everything, like, you know. So he spun me this English fella, and I was like, yes, love him. And he was like, "Cuz, why don't you do that?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, man, we'll know what the people think about me." Then I ended up being around a group of friends from the island, and they were doing it. So I was like, "Where's the Western Massive? Like, there's no one doing it Western." Like,
yeah.
So I ended up one day walking into town with the Island Boys, and there was this man there. His name is John Lillis. Absolutely lovely. I hope you don't mind me mentioning.
No, I think of John Lillis. Yeah, no, that name. Well,
Tommy often spoke with Tom Lillis.
Tom, that's Tom Lillis.
But John, I honestly can say he's probably one of the pinnacle turns in my life, because I came down to this fella. "What's happening?" And he was like, "How are you?" Because he comes with Claire, you know. And he was like, "Any beats, nah? Any beats for me, nah? You'll give me the boys beats, anything?" And he was like, "Yeah, whatever, yeah." So it was funny that I started getting that interest, and God, it works in mysterious ways, because he ended up being a lecturer at the community college that I ended up signing up for, because I wanted to go do music production and sound and things. I wanted to get into it. I wanted to learn my shit now. And there he was. And I was like, "Any beats, nah?" And he was like, "Oh, like, as in here, he is in the door." And he said to me, he said, "If you finish the year out, I'll give you a beat." And at this time, this man was turning over, like, won RTE Prize Awards with his group and stuff. So the beats were really, really, like, so, one a penny kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I got through the college gradually, three quarters of the way through the first year. And then he said to me, "I'm going to give you a challenge. This is for beat number two now," because he said, "I think you're going to get beat number one. So I want you to do a spoken word." Because at the time, you know, so heavily influenced by other music,
yeah.
That he was like, "Bring it down to your own tone. Get it down to who you are, grassroots stuff." So I said, "Yeah, no problem." First ever spoken word piece I would have wrote was called The Trubuffer's Tale. And The Trubuffer is Traveller Blood, which I come from, and Buffer Rairn, because that's what they call them. So I said,
Buffer, somebody settled.
Buffer's a settled person. Because I used to meet my cousins, they used to say, "Are you a traveller or are you a traveller or are you a buffer, Willem?" And obviously I'm a Trubuffer. And they said, "Go away with your stupid statements, man." Because they couldn't understand it.
What was it called?
A Trubuffer.
It's a mix between the traveller and the buffer.
Want to give us a blast of that?
If you can. Or if you have something,
I'll say it, but that sounds
flourish. I'm interested in that. Growing up, no, like I would have been in, Travellers would have been a big part of my life as well. And like you'd always hear, a lot of people would know what a buffer is. A lot of people in mainstream society, they would know what a buffer is, you know. And we'd often be in these circles, and I'd be with Travellers, and we'd bump into other Travellers, and they'd say, what's the story with the buffer?
Excluded from the circle, like.
And who's the buffer, mate?
Do you know what's a very popular word in Cork for Travellers describing other Travellers? Sublick.
Sublick,
I don't hear that as much outside of Cork. Is that a thing in the
middle? Subs goes way back. That's a young flower, man. And then you got a Nasha, which is the Earl as well. There's the gammon. My uncle, Lord Mercenham, he wrote a book about it. Cantor Gammon, used to call him the candlelight painter. He used to lock himself into a pub at night, and he was fond of the drink. But in return, he'd be in the pub at night, but he'd turn out a painting. So he'd paint on plates and leave it there. But anyway.
Do you know where we're from? The north side, northwest Cork City.
Yeah.
There's a lot of travellers where we're from, would have living in houses and Hartleside. So what people call north side slang is actually traveller language that we've integrated into
the community.
So it's like, or the Narries, because that's where we come from, the north side, because we're called the Narries. So people say the Narries, the Fiend, the Bure, but that's actually not Narry language. That's our Narry slang. That's the traveller language that we've took on because we're surrounded by travellers, isn't it?
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is the Irish traveller language and traveller language in general is like predated back into Om nearly language. So like even before Gaelic was even formed, like Traveller Canting Gammon was even back there. And so like that was kind of the protection against the set man, because the set man was coming for them, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's been around a hell of a long time.
You know your history, Wills, yeah?
A small bit, yeah. Like in the lines of the Travellers, man, like having grown up in that setting and before I'd done the Trubuffer's Tale and stuff, I was kind of ashamed of being a traveller, because I was already getting beat for being a foster child. I was getting beat for being fucking an alcoholic son, called Willie, you know, like, you know, when you're a child, you hear someone saying, "All right, Timmy or Jimmy or Willie," and it's like, Willem, maybe not Timothy, but you get where I'm coming from. And
like other areas would call William, but in the north side here as well, it's Willem as well.
Yeah.
It's not William.
No, no.
William is pure posh, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's William. Yeah. Don't ever call me that. Yeah. Unless we're signing something foreign. But yeah, moral of the story, man. So I started just to kind of try and reintegrate myself back into the traveling community, figure out what was the lineage of the family, who was I, what was I about. And I ended up coming across a cousin of mine called Megs Casey.
I don't know Megs Casey, but I know of her.
Yeah.
She's meant to be a great woman. She'd be good guest for us if you could make the...
Oh, don't worry about that. Yeah. But for her, she was delighted in the traveller life for me. She is a very, very highly educated woman, and she's salt of the earth, man. She's so level-headed. She knows all about everything. So any questions I had, even about my family, my mother, my father, what life was like, because she's older than me, she was able to give me an answer. Mm-hmm. So that, for me, re-embedded the pride that I had, because I knew that, as we were saying, the dirtiness that you feel or the shame that you feel, you can now put that to the side because you've got the answer. That chiseled that little part away, you know?
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. So then for the Trebuffer's Tale, that was kind of like me unifying everything. And then from there, man, I think I ended up getting the beat from John in the end. And I got the second one. Then we went into Music Generation. I know you have Music Generation here in Cork City as well. GMC, GMC.
Yeah.
An incredible man as well.
Yeah. Very nice fella as well.
Yeah. So I would have done the circuit then with Music Gen for a while in Limerick, and they were so open, man. Like, I was coming in, pants into the socks, hold on, watch the story. You have to rap,
yeah.
It was just like, all right, lad, down the room on the left, you know, that kind of way. They didn't give a shit what way I was coming in.
You were saying that, I was just saying, I'm back in the middle of the prison there, like, the boys, you know,
and you get it in there as well. But that was the kind of thing, trying to hold on to egos and characters and stuff, but they're soon broken. Prison will break your ego, and Music Gen will break your ego in the sense of they'll leave you off. I would have done the circuit with them for a while, gaining things, very understanding people, absolutely lovely. They just give you the facility, man. You come in, you rap, shout at the wall there for a couple of hours. Greatest bit of therapy I've ever come across.
Yeah, because you're able to express yourself, like you're able to write down your thoughts and you're able to be creative. And you know,
I was receiving,
it's like a personal development tool, isn't it?
I was receiving charge sheets, no, with charts for sheets. That's one of the lines that I say, you know, and that's the way I look at it. And I'm very.
Would you freestyle, or would you have?
Freestyles. We'd have so when we were coming up, as I was saying, we had what we call our north side, which is Moyross, and then we have the island and Weston. So we had our representatives. We're all great friends, but when it came to Music Gen and rapping, it was competition out the door. So we would try and better each other every time we would go in there. Each week, someone would come with something fucking fantastic and you'd have to go home. You wouldn't nearly even leave there and then go home and say, fucking crack, you know? But you'd have your week, and that was the thing, and it was kind of set up like that.
You said something about charge sheets. Say that again.
So I used to receive charge sheets, but now I charge for sheets.
Do you know what it reminded me of? Kanye West. I'm trying to write my wrongs, but it's so funny them same wrongs have me write my songs. It's funny them same wrongs help me write my songs.
That's a good pitch.
But I like your one is better, because the chart sheets, I know what chart sheets are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it makes it more local and more relatable. Do you know Pat Flynn?
I do.
I'm a big Pat Flynn fan. If he ever listens, shout out to Pat Flynn, love Pat Flynn.
He'd
a kind of a bit of a thing there with a Limerick rapper.
Lynchy.
Like, would he be involved in the scene? Like, is it a small rap scene in Limerick, or is it a big rap scene?
Our rap scene, man, is home. It's a family unit. Like, everyone that was in Music Gen at that time, some of them have surpassed any expectation that we would ever have. Some have gone on to do incredible things, and some of us are still here in the community regional area. But there is other people that would have been banging on with music in around the city and stuff, and that would have never kind of interlinked with others and let us. And it's not like you have to let us know that you're doing music or anything like that. But like, we are, after spending X amount of time developing a network, a scene, a frame, like everything that you're doing now and being accepted for, we've taken the brunt of that on our chins. You know what I mean? Go away, Yanks, go away, you Yankee Doodle rap and all this. And it's kind of like, now we persisted through that. Now it's more open, but back then, you could say nearly 9 years ago, 8 years ago, there was barely a scene in Limerick. And having developed it, and then we were so core with the rap to hear, come on, it's all bad boy with a gypsy girl. It was just like, oh, you're strangling you in a minute, we'll get off the microphone. Because we're here, like, premeditating, like, daddy left me and mommy, had, you know, and then this fella's like, yeah, bang the bjorn on the back of the motor. And I've got respect for it. But at that time, I was like, oh, you might have to put next amount of hours, big fool me again. But Jackie never really linked in with us. But there's no resentment to anyone that doesn't link in. It's just kind of like, it's a harder road going on your own than it is when you can, you know, because you might have a show and I mean, you might let me on and we might share fans and I might go to your show. Yeah. That's kind of where you need to be going in Ireland.
We had a rapper on there a few months ago, Cork for the Trigger. Mm. But he's had good success now. He's had brilliant music videos and
stateside,
but he raps in his own Cork accent. He's not trying to be an American rapper. He's not like trying, as he said to us, I'm not trying to be a rapper, I am a rapper. I'm from Cork, I rap my own language and my own voice, and about the own issues in my own area. Is that the kind of vibe you have? Do you rap like in
100%, and big up to Trigger. I know Trigger on a personal level, an absolute great human being, and I congratulate him on all his stuff says to you, because then again you have someone who's trying to be a wolf and go find their own niche, and he's doing it so well. He's on things like tracks with legends' sons or legends themselves or something, and people overlook that, you know, like people aren't giving that young fella his dues because it's Ireland and because, you know, so who's he think
it's
he is?
It's older than Norman.
Yeah, will he ever get from that? Yeah, he paid them. You know, their talent can get you a certain amount of way, but if they don't believe it, you pay them. Yeah. You gave me. I paid to come down here now today. Like, there's a lot of people that would say that as well, you know, that kind of way. For me, writing, everything has to be in my own thing. As I was saying to you earlier, I used to rap in an English accent because it was so heavily influenced from that.
Yeah.
That gets you so far. That gets you through the training camp. That doesn't get you through the fight. Yeah. The fight is to get into your own rhythm, your own routine, your own, you know, figure yourself out and then bring that to the table. Mm. That's a lot more interesting than copying and pasting something from the 90s or another artist, you know.
Yeah, but you've got a great way with words there, even the phrases you're coming up, how you're expressing yourself, and you can create these analogies to kind of articulate your point.
But you are very well educated.
Yeah.
I can see that through your vocabulary. Like.
Yeah.
That was the other side. Yeah. The other side was coming from the travelling community because people assume because you come from the travelling community that you're illiterate. You're back to front. You know, there's all these kind of like stigmas and absolute horrible assumptions that people do. And so one of the things I took was, you'll never say that I'm an illiterate traveller anyway, because I will fucking, if I have to, I'll be the spokesperson for them.
Mm.
You know, that kind of way. And so
that's what travellers need.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
You know, they need voices. You know, it's the same as people in our communities.
Mm.
You know, when I say our communities, no, I mean like where I come from, where there's a lot of drug addiction, a lot of alcoholism, a lot of crime and violence. You know, people need a voice because there's a lot of great, great people up there. Like, you know, like
the community's full of great people.
Yeah. They might never have the platform.
You know,
and that's
what we do. You know, and it's, I'll just give a brief example, like. If you go into a house in our area, you will be welcomed at the door with a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
They will throw something on, a breakfast on you that morning. I'm currently going, I do work for people in their homes and stuff. And they will try to feed you.
Stuff you know, the gills.
That's how he's so big.
And then when you're going, like, they'll look after you, they'll pay or whatever. Mm. And, you know, it's such a great, great, great way.
Yeah, it's a welcoming thing, man.
Do you know what I mean?
It's great to feel a part of something, man. Even like last year, I got the absolute honour to write a short spoken word for the Limerick hurling team going forward for the three in a row. And like, when I heard that that RTE were on board with it and stuff like that, I was like, oh, fuck off. And they were like, and they were like, we're coming down. Is there anywhere that you centre focus want to go? And I was like, Weston. And they were like, what? And I was like, you're coming to Weston, yeah? And they were like, I don't know about that. And I goes, well, I don't know if I can have the piece on it because I want my community in it. I don't want you coming down here for Sunday World Report. I want you to come down here and also highlight the beauty in the place. And I can promise you this, lads, and it is on video, I have never seen Weston going from snow white to green and white in a matter of hours because they heard something good was happening. There's a woman called Breda Cosgrove, absolute queen of Weston. when we were in foster care, bad hard times at home, she used to fill up massive blue bags of fruit and wagon wheels and all these and just deliver them up to the house and never ask for nothing. So the first place when I knew that RTE were willing to come to Weston on a good foot, I went straight into Breda. And Breda was like, send out the troops. They're coming. My banner's everywhere. She's in her green and white jersey. She's never worn a jersey in her life. She's in it now. You know what I mean?
Oh, powerful woman,
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
I'm going to the Limerick, Limerick are down in Cork Saturday night for the Hurling, National Hurling League.
Yeah.
Like, in the great honour, one of the best Hurling teams of the past 50 years, going for three in a row, and you're able to do that piece from, you know?
Man, it's
the turnaround in your life.
Yeah, it is. And it comes from just, similar to yourselves, lads, it just comes from no thanks and constant dedication, constantly driving at the same thing and making it just an inch, even a half an inch better every time. And, you know, and if you get a knockback, it's only knockback a half an inch to go forward another half an inch. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And I think if you do it in them accumulated steps, you're laughing, you know. Yeah. No, I strongly feel that.
And it's about facing that fear.
Yeah.
You know, we all have fear that we'll get rejected, that people won't want us and all these different things. But it's about facing it, moving on to the next step, get that knockback and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And looking at what you're doing in a positive way, look at the people you're helping instead of the people that you don't want to help. And well, that's it.
They
outweigh it massively. Trust me in that. Don't they, James?
Yeah.
That's why I think the community thing was something big. And that's why I went to I'm in college now at the moment and I'm studying community and addiction studies, right? And so a part of that is that we have to go on work placement, and the place that I'm in work placement now is called the Learning Hub in Limerick, and I box there as well, and I do and I record music there.
Nice one.
But like having, so I've never worked with kids. I have many nephews and nieces, but in the capacity of like facilitating for children, I've never done that. And to be, I've said this at home last night, I just kind of want to be that older brother I never had to a kid that doesn't have an older brother,
yeah.
Or that inspiration, you know. And I want to always keep one foot community-based, local, regional, and yeah. Continuously better that, because without that, what are we? You know, and I think that's something that could be even passed along to Trigger as well. Trigger has done a lot of his work here in Cork before he went stateside. And don't forget to come back, or don't forget to acknowledge what he has done, you know,
yeah.
Because as we were saying, that half an inch, you take your community that half an inch every time,
yeah.
That be the travelling community, settled community, whatever it is,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just yeah, keep building, 100%.
Like. Do you want to close us off with a bit of spoken word?
Tell me why we were left here, when most of what we love is dead years. Yeah, we've shed tears, haven't you? Unknown as to why it makes us feel positive, share negative views. Spreading lies keep hatred away from the truth, but never realising that they too could self-abuse, feel down and never choose to reveal that true news. Cause our loyalty nowadays only relies on a few and it keeps decreasing. When karma's a bitch, tell me who are they really pleasing? Most keep trying to find a reason where second chances are foreseen. But to an ordinary fiend or bure, they better start to dream, cause I'm pretty sure some develop hatred to the core. You live by the knife, you die by the sword. And this is the obsidian unpretty lady when it comes to war. Divided into four and what four, taking shots at four doors. Let the past be the past, we'll take it further. A row over smacking since then, look at all the murders. Publicans, bouncers, fathers and brothers, and of course, the ones that were never heard of. Where families still to this day pray that they turn up. That pain remains, knowing it may never happen. While youths are outside the doors and naggins, abusing passing paddy wagons, bragging to rob cars and crash them. But the legends I knew would have flew past in, had the tunes full blast, and joint out the window wash, and eyes in the roads, no distraction, burning the shades over and under passing. But they too met divine interactions when that car mounted the curb and lost traction. Jailbirds! Tell me why is this so attracting? Why the girls start attaching themselves to these men, fully knowing it ain't gonna last when the boyish ways will get them put back into that 6x10. Enjoying those 6 minutes when the phone rings, but when the call ends, reality storms back in. Acting fake in front of your friends, saying you're okay, but it's all pretend. But just like him, your thoughts are different now. You've learned to live without. But what causes him to shout is that little seed of doubt that eventually grew. Unknown as to what you were doing, hearing about the ones that are screwing a few while their fiends is up in the twos, makes his emotions confused. He begins to feel positive, sharing negative views. Thank you very much.
Well done, well, nice, boy.
Thank you, boys.
Well done, boy. Well,
and of course, thank you very much for having me.
As I said,
it's been a dream and an honour. And
thank you.
just a shameless plug. Shout out to Welcome to the New World, the Gaff, the Learner Hub, Limerick, my mama, my past, my bloodline, the lineage, and everyone else.
Where can people get in contact with Jeff? They want to say hi, you follow you.
So you can get me on social media at Willzy Tewo. That's WILLZEETWOW. Willzy everywhere, really. And if you struggle to do that, send me a letter. But may never come. But yeah, find me on social media. We'll, that's probably better.
We'll link your stuff in the description.
Yeah, that'd be ideal. Spotify and all the other things.
Thanks as well.
But listen, lads, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, boy. And the best of luck with the course, you know, because you're going to be able to give back so much. Trust me.
Please, guys.
Well, I'm Willzy,
thank you, boys. Thank you.
See you there.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.